What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one online community for DJs where you can live stream and not get cut off. Today we have DJ Mel B Easy. Brother, can you please introduce yourself, tell the people where you're from and who you are?
1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. Yes, indeed. It's the party general, DJ Mel B Easy. You know what it is, where to go, how I get busy. All right, so listen, let me tell you, I stay in Atlanta right now. I lived in Atlanta for about almost 17 years, but I'm originally from New York. I started my DJing bones, I guess they say my bones, I got out here in Atlanta. I've been DJing for a while, B. I've been rocking out for a minute. I've been on the road with some of your favorite R&B artists. I'm still on the road with the R&B singer Case. You know, I'm just a tour DJ, been there for a while. That's family. I done did shows with Selena Johnson. I done did shows with Soul For Real. I done did shows with Queen Pen. I done DJed numerous concerts. I'm sort of somewhat of a big deal.
Awesome. You know? Well, we're happy to hear your story, man. This podcast, we like to really get, you know, the story about how you got started and kind of walk us through your entire journey. You know, we do this in hope that other DJs are able to really hear your story and be inspired and learn some great, valuable things that can help them in their journey. So, yeah, I would love to, you know, tell me a little bit about the beginning, you know, what sparked you to become a DJ and tell me about like the early days.
I had an uncle. My uncle's real stubborn. So he was a DJ back in Brooklyn. He would never let me touch his stuff. Like, he would never, ever let me touch his equipment. And I'd be like, yo, I want a DJ. And he'd be like, not on myself, brother. And I'd be like, yo, come on, man. So that sparked the interest because I'm like, this mother won't let me touch his stuff. So, you know, it was just always with me. You know what I mean? I always wanted to be a DJ. But in New York, at that time, it was like 89, the music was heavy, like De La Soul. It was like something that was like, boom. I always wanted to be part of the block parties. You know what I'm saying? Like growing up in New York, in the summertime, if you did a block party, you was the man. You know what I'm saying? And I always wanted to do a block party. Never got the chance to do a block party. So that kind of sparked the interest of me wanting to be a DJ. And you know, listening to some of the greats like your Brucey B, your Kid Capri's, your Hollywoods, and you know, all those, you know, that got me into it. And then later on, when I got into high school, that's when you had the doo-wops, the Ron G's, the S&S, Double R, you know, so that kind of helped kickstart everything. But from there, I was dibbling dabbling in DJing. I was like, I used to do hooky parties. I went to the school called Park West in the city. So we did a hooky party and stuff like that. And you know, I fell in love with it. You know what I'm saying? I knew that was something I wanted to do. So I DJed a little bit in the 90s. And then I went to North Carolina, like 93. And then I started DJing out there a little bit. But my grandmother was so strict. She wouldn't let me go out the house to do no parties. So moved back to New York. Things were slow. I don't know if we could curse over here, but things were slow. And I didn't really get that. I was DJing in New York. But let me explain something to you. I used to suck. I was a very bad DJ. I was horrible. Like, I was the one that they didn't even let go. I couldn't even do the reggae set. That's how bad I was. Like, I couldn't even mix boom, ba, ba with sound. I was terrible. So my peoples would not let me touch. They wouldn't let me do nothing. I booked the parties, get the parties, but I could not DJ to save my life. And like I said, I wasn't good. I was horrible. I was bad. Let me bad. That was the 90s. So I kind of chilled out for a minute that I was bad. But I was making mixtapes, but I was bad. Then I picked it up back like in 90, you're going to say like 99, almost in the 2000. And I, you know, I was still, I just got better. You dig what I'm saying? So as I got better, for people not to let me touch their stuff and do stuff, it made me want to get better. It made me want to get to the point where, yo, that's him. Mel, get up there, shake a leg, rock the party, and keep it moving. You dig what I'm saying? So the funny thing is I used to go by the name of DJ Mel Bourne. You know what I'm saying? That was my first thing. And then I linked up with this crew. And the first party I ever did was I did an event with Public Enemy. And one of the people there, he was like, yo, we're going to change the name to Mel Be Easy. Because I like how you rock the party and you was killing them. I had to tell you to be easy. I was like, dope. So that kind of got me back into the whole swing of things. So now we're going to talk about 2003. The winter of 2003, somebody booked me to do a party in Atlanta from New York. So I came down to Atlanta for the first time. Mind you, I'm a New Yorker, never been to Atlanta. The farthest I've been south was North Carolina. Come to Atlanta, man, it's like, whoa. The party scene is like, whoa. But now I'm doing college parties. You dig what I'm saying? And mind you, I never been to college. So doing a college party was just like school days. You know what I'm saying? So I'm over here rocking and rolling. So long story short, the summer of 03, guess what I did? I packed my stuff up and moved to Atlanta because I had a 4th of July party out here at one of the clubs and I never left.
Wow.
I never left. So then here comes 2004. Now I went from doing one spot in Buckhead to tearing a whole strip down in Buckhead. I had a ring. I had a run in Atlanta. I had a run from 2004 all the way to 2008. I had a mean run. A mean run. Then, you know, I ran to my cousin Case out here and I started DJing for him in around 04. And we went on tour in 06. Came back to Atlanta off tour. You know, did the Hot 107.9. It was one of the Mega Mix DJs. You know, I did a lot of stuff out here in Atlanta. B, I was doing mixtapes. They used to call me the R&B King of the South. I had a pretty good run. You know what I mean? I had a great run. I'm still on a roll with Case. I'm still DJing. You dig what I'm saying? You know, due to the COVID. I got married. I got a little lazy. So, you know, now I'm trying to get back into the whole swinging thing. And the music sucks. So that don't really, you know, music sucks bad. So it's like, when I do parties, I like to rock. I want to go here. See, I come from the crate days. See, a lot of DJs don't know about the crate days. The crate days is like, you had to have an army with you. You know what I'm saying? You needed an army. You needed about 10 guys with you to help you bring up the crates. And now, I was doing this club called The Living Room in Buckhead. This club, you used to have to walk up the stairs with all your crates. Up the stairs, the hole with the stairs was like this narrow. So you had to literally hold your stuff up there. Yeah, I come from that era. Yeah, I come from that era where you needed like 6 crates. You had 6 to 10 crates, you was good.
Word.
You know what I mean? That's that vinyl era. You know what I mean?
Wow. So now that we're in the new era where everything is digital, you know, what are some, you know, advantages, disadvantages? Just compare, you know, the new school versus the old school and what are some ways that, you know, we can kind of bridge the gap? Because, you know, I interview a lot of DJs and some DJs, you know, they say that there's a divide. Others says, no, it's pretty united. But I want to hear your perspective. Where do you think we are in regards to old school and new school and the connection between the two?
I mean, okay. We're not going to say old school and new school, right? We're going to say DJs that can DJ and DJs that can play music. DJs that can play music is anybody. It's your grandmother, your aunt. You give them a controller, laptop, hard drive, and they got a folder with everything is in the same beat per minute that's playing music. A DJ that can DJ is an experienced DJ to where he could rock a party without even using anything. He could shut the laptop down and still rock. You see what I'm saying? You have to have experience. And what I've noticed, a lot of DJs, these newer DJs, they don't have the experience rocking parties. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's like trying to fly an airplane. You need hours, right? You need a certain amount of hours to become a pilot. You know what I'm saying? So in this game, you need a certain amount of parties to become a DJ. You have to elevate yourself. But the way that today's music is and the way that today's people are, my mother could rock a party. Well, I could tell her to play these 20 records and it's a go. You know what I'm saying? It's simple. You know what I'm saying? So you have the experienced DJs and then you have the least experienced DJs. That makes sense?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
I got you, got you. And in regards to the industry, in regards to like succeeding in today's environment, you know, do you think that it's important for people that's just trying to get into the game to go back and learn kind of the tips and the trade and the skills that you learned back in the day? You know, talk to me a little bit about that and the importance of, you know.
Go back, not to cut you off, my brother. Go back and watch DJ movies like Juice and Wild Style or Crush Groove. Get the history of the music. See this, okay, let me explain something to you. When I was growing up, we had DJs that we looked up to and DJs that, oh, I wanted to DJ with this person. If you DJed with, a lot of DJs can't say they DJ with Kid Capri. You know what I'm saying? I can because I was on tour with them, with him. So we was on a Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, Mike tour. It was Kid Capri, Velvet DeVoe, and Bobby Brown and Case. So I had the honor of DJing with Kid Capri. You know what I'm saying? I DJed with SNS. I DJed with Doo-Wop. I DJed with Brucey B. See, I DJed with the idols. A lot of these cats don't have idols. See what I'm saying? So they don't even know what is the scale. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Because now the mixtapes, when I was coming up, the mixtapes was just, well, that was that. Nowadays, the mixtapes is just a playlist. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of cats right now, they don't know what it is to be a DJ. They just know what it is to play music. See, right now, this is a generation of hookahs and chicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to DJ, get some hookah, and get some chicks. That's all it is. This is the turn-up era. And a turn-up means the slowest record is a turn-up era. You think what I'm saying? So it's like there's no more structure to where you got to have the intro. You got your low point, which you open it. You got your middle point where you're getting them ready. You got your high point. Then you got your slow point. You know what I'm saying? It's none of that no more. It's just straight. And it's not moving. You dig what I'm saying?
Understood. Yeah, but I definitely want to use this time to highlight you and some of the things that you've accomplished. And I want to, you know, what's some advice that you have for some of the quote-unquote new school DJs for them to really elevate their game and to really be respected by the older DJs, more experienced DJs like yourself? You know, what is something, you know, let's say I want to get into the game right now. What do you recommend I do?
I would tell you to go to Mixcloud, go to SoundCloud, and get up old DJ mixtapes. Go listen to Funkmaster Flex. Go listen to Kid Capri. Go listen to Doo-Wop. Listen to the old DJs. You see what I'm saying? Listen to DJs. There's nothing wrong with listening to a DJ. You're not biting his style. You're just getting familiar with the music that you're not familiar with. You see what I'm saying? And know your music. There's more music out there than what you know. You see what I'm saying? So that's my advice. Know your music.
Definitely. No, I really, really appreciate that. I also want to talk about, you know, the difference between just DJing as a hobby but then DJing as a business. You know, can you talk to me about, you know, how new DJs can go and actually make good money from this and some advice in regards to building the business aspect of their DJ career?
Build your brand, meaning start your own parties. Build you. See, right now, the corona done messed everything up. No, the corona made it better because now start your Twitch, start your live stream, start building your clientele. So when everything open up, you already have your email base, you already have your fan base, and they come to see you. You see what I'm saying? Use this Twitch because right now, streaming is the new wave. Once D-Nice became who D-Nice, what he became because of the streaming, that's what everybody's doing right now. You see what I'm saying? So now, use that streaming platform because now, that's like the new wave. That's not going to go nowhere. Use your Twitch. Use whatever platform that you can and build up your following.
Right. Great advice. Do you think that once COVID is over or, you know, we're in the new, you know, the new normal of parties and events, do you think that live stream is still going to be very relevant? You think DJs should still do it or you think
live
that...
streaming? Okay. Let me explain something to you. Once that floodgate open, it's going to be around for a while. Because there's too many people making money off of certain platforms. You know what I'm saying? Your platform yourself. See what I'm saying? So it's like now, streaming is the new mix shows. Remember, radio don't even do mix shows no more. See what I'm saying? So streaming is the new mix shows. If you want to hear certain DJs or see certain things, you find a streaming service. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, man. No, I definitely appreciate all the gems you're dropping, man. I think that, you know, the DJs that are out there listening to this, like, you should definitely listen to my guy, DJ Mel B Easy. He has years experience in this game. He knows what he's talking about.
I've been around.
Yeah, so talk to me. Tell me a little bit about some of the highlights, you know, of your career and some of the parts that make you really enjoy being a DJ. What do you love about it the most?
Highlight. Okay. One of the illest highlights was I was doing a party in Atlanta and Flex was supposed to come on next. So for some reason, Flex didn't want to come on. So I'm rocking a party. I'm killing a party, flexed on the mic. And I had a cameraman at this time. My cameraman was nowhere to be found. I was so tight because I got the club going. I'm playing Master P records. I'm in the South. I'm playing records. And he's like, yo, what records is this? What records is that? You know what I'm saying? So that was one of my highlights. My other highlight was, like I said, being on the road, actually DJing with Kid Capri. Well, DJing the tour that Kid Capri was on. You know, you gotta clear stuff up, you know what I mean? So doing that, being on the road with my cousin, you know, seeing a lot of things. Yeah, you know, just stuff like that. I've been around. Yeah. I've been busting and moving.
Yeah, you know, man. What I'm saying? And what about DJing do you like the most? Like, what makes it very exciting to you?
Seeing that crowd. I like that crowd. I like this past weekend, we had an event and the DJ before me, I guess he wasn't doing nothing. So I came out, warmed up the spot, kept that energy going. It's all about your energy. So the promoter come to me like, yo, damn, you should have kept on going. And I'm like, damn, you should have paid me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo, it's the energy. Like, when I first went on tour and I saw that energy, I'm like, yo, in a crowd, and I saw what I could do to a crowd. You know what I'm saying? Like, I done shut down 10,000 people. You know what I mean? So it was like, seeing that crowd, seeing the whole reaction, seeing a theater of people just wilding, you know what I mean? Like, we did a show in New York and we just had them going, you know what I mean? So that's my thing, just in there, that energy. I love that energy.
Awesome, man. And tell me a little bit about some of the things that you're focused on now and some things we can see from you for the future.
Well, now we got my podcast. It's called The Throwback Happy Hour Mix. That start next Thursday. That'll be on Apple Music. You can follow me on Apple Music now. It's called DJ Mel Be Easy, the podcast. I got my joint where I used to do my grown folks party live on Facebook. I used to record it live and then put it on a podcast the next day, which is Saturday. So I got that. I got my clothing line. You know what I'm saying? I got some stuff coming up. I'm also doing this thing called the Funky Good Time. That's going to be my parties. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So, I got some things in the works. You know what I mean?
Awesome, brother. Dan, we really appreciate you and everything that you're doing for the DJ industry, man. Do you have any last pieces of advice before we jump into the lightning round?
Yeah. Learn your craft, B. Learn your craft. Respect the elder DJ. Stop trying to shut everything down. Like I tell you DJs, I got experience, meaning I got decades over you. I've been DJing since the 90s. So I got the 90s, the 2000s, the 10s, and I got the 20s. That means I know a lot of music. And I was born in the 70s. So I heard a lot of music in the 80s and the 70s. So you have to learn your craft. You know what I mean? Get experience.
Awesome, brother. Y'all heard the advice. Learn the craft. Respect the DJ. And make sure you guys check out DJ Mel B Easy. He's doing it big. So let's jump into the lightning round. You ready?
Let's go.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
I use Serato. I use CDJs, turntables. I don't like controllers. I hate controllers.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, man, I got a bunch. Okay, we're going to go down the line. Brucey B, Kid Capri, S&S, Doo-Wop, my man DJ Chink. Who else? Red Alert, Funkmaster Flex, Goldfinger. You got Cypher Sound. It's just a lot, B. Man, these are all party rocking DJs. You can't forget Star Child. You can't forget Love Buzz Starsky. You can't forget Hollywood. You know what I mean?
What has been your favorite party or event you DJed at and why?
I did a party for Michael Jordan. That was one of the dopest joints I did. I did a party for Holyfield and damn near shitting on myself, excuse my language, because I was talking so much. All right, then we're going to go back lightning around. DJs, don't talk a hole for yourself. I did that. I was talking gang of smack, and then I got on my record, got the Holyfield crib and froze. I was nervous. I was shaking. They had another DJ there looking at me, laughing at me. My hands were like this, and I was talking gang of stuff. As soon as I got up there, nigga, I was like I was nervous, B. So I never talk. You know what I'm saying? Never talk.
Be humble. Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
I met everybody. Everybody's interesting to me. Everybody. I can't name names, but everybody. Some of your favorites are Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I met a lot of people, B. A lot.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
The money. That's about it. The money. You know what I'm saying? The monetizing the whole situation.
And shout out to DJs you know personally whose story should be shared on this podcast.
It's a bunch of them. You got my man Kool-Aid, Super C. Oh, and I got a podcast. Another thing, I had a podcast I'm doing called Mixtape Mondays. So I'm interviewing all the old school mixtape DJs. Quick story. My first guest was Doo-Wop. We interviewed, had him for an hour. Zoom, everything's going. You know what happened? I forgot to hit the record the cloud. Exactly. So I'm about to start that up again too. It's called Mixtape Mondays. I'm interviewing some of your favorite mixtape DJs. And that's going to be every Monday on YouTube. You know what I mean?
Awesome. Any other shout outs?
Shout out to everybody, B. Shout out to the whole world. Shout out to all the DJs. You know what I mean? We're just going to have fun. Shout out to you. Shout out to you for putting this platform together, and shout out for you for dealing with me today. Today was a heck of a day. So shout out to you, B.
I appreciate you, brother. Any DJs interested in being on the show, you can always sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
All right, yeah, I still do events. Check this out. I need your help. I need y'all to help my Instagram. My Instagram look very low. I look like I ain't got nobody on my Instagram. My Instagram is DJ Mel B_Easy. E-A-S-Y. Yeah. Follow me. He'll put the link up there. Let's get me up to at least 3,000. There's no way in hell I only have 1,500 people on my joint, B. But, you know, I done seen some people that's way popping that only got less than me. But still, that's them. Let's get me going. I need to feel like I'm somebody.
Y'all hear him. Everyone, please check out my man's DJ Mel B. Easy. He's doing great things in the DJ world. And I appreciate you, brother, for being on the My DJ Story podcast. You dropped some gems. You really told your story in the DJ industry. And we appreciate you and your time, man. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. And like I said, if you ever need me again, hit me. We can talk off this. I mean, we could do some other stuff because I'm really interested in putting some shows together. Know what I mean?
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.